So Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed to Hannah for that wonderful reading. And let's pray together as we look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've been learning from the book of Hebrews over these few weeks. We thank you for a book that so clearly puts the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the heir of all things, through whom the whole universe was made, the radiance of your glory and the exact representation of your being. We praise and thank you afresh, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. We pray that we learn more about listening to him now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me read to you again from our key verse for this series, Hebrews 2, verse 1, that first verse which Hannah read to us. And if you've got a Bible, do have a look at it now. Hebrews 2, verse 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Did you know that listening can save your life? Listening can save your life. A couple of years ago, when we were on holiday as a family, one of my daughters started running towards me from the other side of a quiet country road. But she couldn't see, because there was a brick wall blocking her view, that there was a truck racing down that road towards her. I could see exactly what was happening, and I shouted, "Stop!" twice at the top of my voice. And wonderfully, she listened and she stopped, and there was a great relief all around. Did you know that listening can save your life? And listening to Jesus will save your life eternally. We don't know exactly who it was who wrote this letter to the Hebrews, as it is known, but it seems that the readers of this book were Jews who lived shortly after the time of Jesus, who'd become Christians and were now in danger of slipping back into Judaism. And that may have been for a range of different reasons. Maybe it was because their new faith had been unpopular and they'd been thrown out of their Jewish circles, maybe out of their synagogue. Maybe it's because they'd grown lazy or become tempted by sin. Or maybe it was just that in the marathon race of the Christian life, they were just so tired out and they were tempted to go back to their old ways. And for that, for them, that probably meant getting fixated on some of the Old Testament things that pointed to Jesus rather than on Jesus himself. For example, last week we were thinking about angels through whom God brought the truth in the Old Testament. So do you see, it's not that overnight they decided to slam the door and stop being a Christian. Far more subtle than that. They just quietly started to drift away from Jesus like a boat on the tide. And so the first 14 verses of this book, which we've seen over the last couple of weeks, in that the writer, we don't know who he was, wrote to the readers, we don't know who they were. But what he's done is that he has reminded them of the solid rock of Jesus Christ so that they will fix their mooring onto him and not drift away in danger of other things. Jesus is the one who created all things, as Alice was reminding us earlier. He's the one that sustains all things. He's the one that's going to inherit all things. He's the exact representation of God's being, the Son of God, the one whom angels worship. And at that first Easter, he finished the job of providing purification for all our sins. Did you get that? He's paid for all our sins. It's like someone taking you out for an amazing meal. We can't do that right now. And paying the bill for you. And that's what Jesus has done. He's paid the bill for us of all of our sins. And so the big message is listen to him and keep listening to him. As Nathan started the service with that verse from the Transfiguration, where an audible sound from heaven is heard as God speaks and says, "This is my son, listen to him." So we mustn't get carried away by the riptides of religion. We must stick with the solid rock of Jesus. And in this final section, in just four verses at the beginning of chapter two, the writer kind of calls us to a choice. And he says, are you going to listen to Christ or are you going to listen to the other things? Are you going to be swept away imperceptibly by religion or are you going to stick with a relationship with Christ and listen to him? So I've called this sermon, You Choose, because we've got a decision. And so actually we're going to choose, if you are willing, at the end of this sermon, to join in with a prayer in which we ask Jesus to keep us safe and tight and never drift from him and commit ourselves to listening to him. But what exactly does it look like to listen to Jesus? And actually from this short passage, we're going to see three things, and then we'll, as I say, finish with a prayer to do that. Now, at this point, I'm going to do my bit of magic. I'm going to take you to my other screen. And here you've now got the plan view of my desk. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you'll remember this, which was the first week where we looked at how we need to listen to Jesus, a final word and a finished work. Let's rub all that out. And let's put our points for today up on here. So what we're going to see today is that we need to listen to Jesus and three particular things about his message. Listen to Jesus, to the one, two, three things about the message from him. Listen to thee, and the first one, which comes from verse one, is the original. How do I spell that? Original. There we go. Good. Listen to the original message from him, and we'll come on to two other things shortly. If my desk is slightly moving, you get the view. Sorry if that's making you seasick. Let's press on. So listen to the original message from him. Did you see that in the verse? Look at verse one again. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. The clue is in that past tense, to what we have heard, the original message from and in and through Jesus. I love this verse. It reminds me a little bit of 007, James Bond, when he's being shown a kind of his new gadgets, and he gets a bit distracted by some rocket launcher or something, and I can't remember, is it Q? Q says to him, pay attention, 007. And this verse tells us to pay attention to Jesus, but to the past message of Jesus. We must pay the most careful attention, very strong words, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Now, I'm getting a bit older, but I'm not that old, and I'm not 2,000 years old. But if I had been, I could have gone to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and I could have listened to Jesus. I could have listened to Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree, and Jesus coming along and telling him to follow him. Now, wonderfully, for my sake and for your sake, because we weren't there, eyewitnesses and ear witnesses were there, and they passed on the message about what Jesus said to the next generations, including these Hebrews and including us. And so in the Gospels, we've got four voices that testify to Jesus. And actually, in the rest of the New Testament, in the letters and Acts and the book of Revelation, we have everything that we need to know about Jesus. We've got the message from him and in him. And this writer is saying, if you don't want to drift from Jesus, make sure you listen to this past word. Actually, there's another example of this later on in the book. If you've got a Bible, just flick ahead to Hebrews chapter 3. This is really interesting. Hebrews 3, verse 7. As the Holy Spirit says, present tense, and then he quotes a past Bible verse. Today, if you hear his voice, that's taken from Psalm 95. Do you see that we need to keep going back to the original word? And that's how God speaks to us today. And this is essential so that we don't drift. So easy to drift through temptation, through boredom, through sin, through doubt. That's why we have to keep coming back to God's word and reading it for ourselves. Actually, the book of Hebrews doesn't say just wait for your Sunday sermon. It says encourage one another every day. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Today, I need you to encourage me to listen to Jesus. Tomorrow, I need you to encourage me to listen to Jesus. Would you like to walk away from your Christian faith? Well, it's very easy. Just take your eyes off Jesus. Once we stop listening to him, once we stop listening to the Bible, once we stay away from Christian friends and support, we can so easily drift in the current. But we need to listen to Jesus, to the original message from him. Secondly, and let's go to the whiteboard again. Not just listen to the original message from him, but if we look at verse 2 and verse 3, we need to listen to the, let's pick another colour here, to the rescuing. The rescuing. Nathan mentioned earlier that some of us are colourblind, which is me. But I can see the difference there between the red and the green. Let's keep it consistent. A rescuing message from him. The original message, but the rescuing message from him. Have a look at verse 2 and 3. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This is a how much more argument. Okay, the message spoken through angels is probably the Old Testament law spoken to the people of God at Mount Sinai. And there's a how much more argument here. If you got in trouble for not listening to the Old Testament law, how much more will we get in trouble if we don't listen to Jesus? Let me give you a how much more argument. If a hot cross bun is delicious, then how much more delicious is a pack of 4 hot cross buns with Marmite on them? If the hot cross buns are great, how much greater is hot cross buns with Marmite? Now, I think I've just probably alienated half of the listeners here. And if you don't like Marmite, you can see I certainly do. But we're going off on a bit of a tangent here. Hopefully you get the idea of the how much more. If something is great, how much more, if we've got to listen to the message one and we get in trouble if we don't listen to message one, how much more will we get into trouble if we don't listen to message two? There's a contrast here between the message spoken through the angels at Mount Sinai and the message spoken by Jesus. How much more should we listen to Jesus? Because it's a rescuing message. Back in Moses' day, God gave the Ten Commandments. They were great commands, life-giving commands, and the people agreed to obey them. But unfortunately, they didn't. And as a result, the curses mentioned in the law came on the people. And sometimes that came in the form of locusts or exile, being thrown out of the land, and always by death. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything that is written in the book of the law. And we too have broken God's laws, and we now face the just punishment of death for our disobedience. But verse 3, if we should listen to the Ten Commandments, how much more should we listen to the rescue in Jesus? Let me read those two verses again, and I hope you can get the sense of it. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, it was believed that God spoke through angels to bring the Ten Commandments to Moses, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. That's from the Old Testament law. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? So great a salvation. I've got a slightly silly kind of story here for you, but I hope it kind of illustrates this point. Imagine that you've got a new job working in a sweet factory. Okay, that sounds good. And it's your first day at work, and your boss, she shows you your station. She says, right, you're working on this sort of conveyor belt. The sweets go past. If there's any bad ones, just take them out. And there's a massive sign above your conveyor belt which says, don't climb on the conveyor belt. You might get trapped in the machinery. There's a big sort of crunching machine at the far end that's kind of where the conveyor belt is going. But you decide not to listen to the sign. And day one, you think that it might be quite fun to have a bit of climbing frame action and to climb on the conveyor belt. So you clamber up onto the conveyor belt and you ignore the sign saying don't climb on the conveyor belt. And you find yourself, sure enough, hurtling towards a massive crushing machine and trapped on this conveyor belt and completely unable to get yourself off it. And then amazingly, from nowhere, your boss appears and she says, take my hand, take my hand. But not only do you disobey and ignore the massive sign that says don't climb on the conveyor belt, you ignore her message as well. And now you're hurtling towards the sweet crushing machine and you're ignoring her offer of help. It is one thing to ignore the law, which says don't climb on the conveyor belt, you might get trapped. But it's even more stupid to ignore the hand that has reached out to you saying, I will rescue you. I hope we begin to get this, how much more analogy here in this verse. You see, this is the most wonderful thing about the Christian message. All of us have disobeyed God's law. We've broken the Ten Commandments, and we will face every punishment, just punishment, that is due from violating and disobeying God's law. But God, in his kindness and in his grace, has sent his Son into this world to say, take my hand, receive the rescue, have a complete salvation, a forgiveness that you do not deserve and that you cannot earn. It's yours. Turn to me. Trust me. Take my hand. Turn to me as Savior and Lord, and I will rescue you. It is such wonderful good news. But if we ignore that message, or if we drift away from that message of the only rescue, then we're in a really dangerous situation. And that's why I need to warn you. And that's what pastors have to do with their congregation. That's why I have to warn you today and say, are you drifting from Christ? Are you moving from him and from his salvation? He has paid all the price. It's essential that we stick with him. Do not move away from the rescue that is in him. The original message, the rescuing message, and see if the orange is visible. The proven message. The proven message from him. The original message, the rescuing message, the proven message from him. Have a look at the end of verse 3 and verse 4. This salvation, this rescue, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And God also testified to it. We'll come on to how he testifies in just a moment. But do you see how many different groups are involved in the sharing of this message? We've got three groups. We've got Jesus himself originally announcing the message. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, that's Jesus. I mentioned Jesus and Zacchaeus earlier. Jesus announcing rescue to all who would turn from their sins and follow him, like he did to Zacchaeus. And he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 9, salvation has come to this house. But it wasn't just Jesus who's involved in this message. Next, it was confirmed by those who heard him. This is the first century eyewitnesses and ear witnesses who passed on what they saw in their preaching, which we find in the book of Acts, and in their writings, which we find in the rest of the New Testament. So there were people there at the time who could back up what Jesus said and what Jesus did. It's a proven message. It wasn't just done in a corner. It was done very visibly in front of loads of people who saw it happen. But verse 4 is really interesting because it's not just Jesus who spoke, and it's not just those who were with him at the time who confirmed what he said, but God himself testified to Jesus's message with four things, with signs. And that's a key word that we get in John's gospel, because the miracles that Jesus did had a significance. Wonders, signs and wonders often go together, particularly in the book of Acts. These are amazing wonders, extraordinary things that are only explained by the intervention of God. And then miracles, various miracles. That's actually the word used particularly by Matthew, Mark and Luke for the superhuman powers that Jesus has. And finally, by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God breathed new life and new gifts into Jesus's followers, giving them power to follow Jesus and to serve his people with spirit-empowered gifts, and actually to begin to start keeping the law that we failed the first time. So do you see that God himself is proving the message of Jesus in all sorts of different ways with incredible miracles? And the biggest miracle of all was, of course, Jesus and his resurrection from the dead, which we're going to look forward to celebrating in a couple of weeks' time. The biggest miracle, the biggest sign and wonder that proves to the world that Jesus is the Son of God and that we should listen to him. And that was seen by up to 500 people at one time, Jesus alive from the dead. These things are really helpful if you're new to Christianity, because you can see that it's true. It really, these things really did happen. And actually, it's really helpful if you've been a Christian for a long time. Just look at the miracles. Now, sometimes we read the miracles in the Bible and we feel, oh, that's just a bit far-fetched. And we struggle to believe that they're really true. But I think that's part of the point. God did amazing things when Jesus came into this world. He stopped gravity. And Jesus walked on water. That's God was showing that Jesus is real. I don't want to drift, and you don't want to drift. And that is why we must stick with the message of Jesus. We need to listen to him. Turns out that a preacher I know in Australia called Peter Adam has just been preaching on the book of Hebrews himself, and totally without any sort of connection, he has called his series Don't Drift, Draw Near. Don't Drift, Draw Near. And he's actually written this little book on Hebrews, which he's updating at the moment. It's a really wonderful little intro into the book. But I find his little heading really helpful. Don't drift, draw near. It's by listening to Jesus and coming close to Jesus and putting our trust in Jesus and through Jesus coming to God in prayer that we're not going to drift. Listen to him. Stick with Jesus. There are serious riptides in this world. There are serious riptides that threaten to take us away from Jesus. They are everywhere. They're in the culture. They're in the theological colleges. They are on our internet screens. They are in our hearts. And we must listen to Jesus and not drift from the original, rescuing, proven message about Jesus and from Jesus. So as we close, if you're new to Christian Things, well, I hope that you too will take Jesus's hand as he reaches it out to you for rescue. Turn to him for new life. And for those of us who've put our trust in Jesus, we must stick with Jesus and with the original rescuing proven message from him. Talk to Jesus every day, draw near to him in prayer, encourage one another, and get his word into your heart through good Christian songs, through reading the Bible, through one-to-one encouragement, through family Bible times, if you've got a family, encouraging text messages, all these ways to keep listening to Jesus Christ. But remember, ultimately, it's God who will hold us fast. So why don't we pray and ask him to do that? Let's pray together. We must pay the more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We thank you for speaking through the prophets in various times and in various ways, but speaking in these last days by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would never drift from him, from the original true Jesus found in the Bible. Please, Lord Jesus, we want to fix our anchor to you. We thank you that you have finished the job of forgiving our sins. And we pray that you will hold us fast, bind us to you, so that we never drift away. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.